Idaho's first execution in 17 years, a three-part series. Part 1. It's been 17 years since Idaho last executed a prisoner. This morning, convicted murderer Paul Ezra Rhodes is slated to die by lethal injection. Idaho has a long history with capital punishment, unlike Michigan, which abolished the death penalty in 1846. Adam Cotterell takes us to one place in Idaho that's had a history with execution.
Amber Byerly opens an iron door with a key the size of her hand. Byerly manages Idaho's historic old penitentiary. Behind this door is the room where Idaho hanged its last man.
That is where the rope would have been hanging, and then just a lever that releases the trap door.
This room was built in 1954 with the expectation of handling many executions. It saw only one, Raymond Snowden, in 1957. Snowden was convicted of stabbing a woman multiple times. 13 months passed between his arrest and execution. Compare that to Idaho today, where Paul Rhodes has been on death row for 24 years. Raymond Snowden spent his year on death row looking at the door to the room where he would die. It was 10 feet in front of his cell.
So a very short trip from his cell over to the gallows.
As midnight approached on October 17, 1957, guards strapped Snowden to a gurney and carried him that 10 feet to the execution chamber.
They did ask Raymond Snowden if he had any last words. His response to that was, "Yes, I do, but I don't know how to say it."
They bound his hands and feet.
And then, of course, a black hood would have been placed over his head as well.
Prison officials had a problem every time a hanging came up: lack of experience. It's an issue today. Idaho has only performed one lethal injection, and that was 17 years ago. Paul Rhodes' defense team has made that the focus of their appeals. So far, those appeals have been denied. For Snowden, Idaho brought in an experienced executioner from out of state. But something went wrong.
Probably an improperly tied knot that took him about 15 minutes to pass away.
Hanging was the method used for most of Idaho's history. The old pen held a double hanging outside the walls in 1951 in what's now the Idaho Botanical Gardens. Before that, Idaho executed 6 men inside the walls. Prior to the 20th century, county sheriffs in Idaho hanged 16 men. The federal government held one execution. After 1957, Idaho didn't execute anyone for 37 years.
The death penalty was becoming less and less popular in the 50s and the 60s.
Stuart Banner teaches law at the University of California at Los Angeles. He's written several books on legal history, including The Death Penalty in American History. Banner says the anti-death penalty movement showed up in state legislatures. Alaska and Hawaii banned capital punishment in 1957, Vermont in 64, West Virginia and Iowa in 1965. But the movement was most visible in the courts, where constitutional challenges tied up executions. By 1967, executions in the U.S. had stopped. The Supreme Court ruled in 1972 that state death penalty laws were unconstitutional under the Eighth Amendment's ban on cruel and unusual punishment.
The court said that if states wanted to have the death penalty, they'd have to have some principled way to decide who deserved the death penalty and who didn't.
States quickly rewrote death penalty laws, including Idaho, in 1973. But there were no executions in the U.S. for 10 years, until the Supreme Court ruled those state laws were constitutional in 1976. But Banner says by then, the movement to abolish the death penalty had lost steam.
The 1972 Supreme Court decision finding it unconstitutional had the effect of galvanizing support for the death penalty.
Idaho began handing out death sentences again. There are 15 people on death row now, including Paul Rhodes. And in the post-1976 world, Idaho death row inmates can spend decades waiting for their sentences to be carried out. Before that, the average time was less than a year. Ginny Hatch says the legal system changed the way capital punishment gets handled. Hatch teaches criminal justice at Boise State University. She says capital cases are now looked at through a unique legal lens.
It all comes down to one thing. We're scared to death of convicting someone who's innocent. And that's why we have all these procedural safeguards in place. Nobody wants to be the judge who executes an innocent person.
Hatch says this has led, in many cases, to an indefinite appeals process. Paul Rhodes, has exhausted his appeals after 24 years, but there are people on Idaho's death row who have been there longer. Lacey Sivak received his death sentence in 1981. But Hatch says in the next few years, Idaho may actually see more executions. A few other death row inmates, she says, are in a similar legal place as Paul Ezra Rhodes. They've nearly exhausted their appeals. I'm Adam Cotterell, KBSX News.
Idaho's first execution in 17 years, Part 2.
Every year in the U.S., dozens of death row inmates are executed. And journalists are there to witness and share what they see with the public. That will happen this Friday, when four Idaho reporters will see the execution of convicted murderer Paul Ezra Rhodes. Bob Fick knows what it's like to watch this. He was a correspondent for the Associated Press back in 1994 when the last execution in Idaho took place. He watched Keith Eugene Wells die by lethal injection. Wells was convicted of beating two people to death with a baseball bat at a Boise bar. Bob Fick told Samantha Wright the execution proceedings began at the Idaho Maximum Security Institution, or MAX, late one January night.
And we went into the MAX, waited in a, I think what was a dining room, dining area for the inmates for a while, then moved to another area right at the door where we would walk out to go into the execution chamber, which at that time was a kind of like one of the buildings they used for temporary classrooms.
So it was like a little trailer.
Right. The execution chamber was, right. And that's where we wound up cooling our heels for an hour or so while the Supreme Court considered that last-minute appeal or petition to for the stay. Then once that was disposed of, we moved into the execution chamber.
And what did it look like?
Well, there's a big window with a curtain. We were sitting in front of that window. At that point, I was more intent on trying to remember all the details of the death chamber and the events as they occurred, because we didn't have, you couldn't have any paper, you couldn't have any a pen, you couldn't take any notes. So you had essentially committed all the memory.
So you're in front of the curtain, and do they pull the curtain back?
Right, they pulled the curtain back after Wells was in there. The warden, Arvin Harvey, was there. There was at least one other person, two other people, I believe, in there. And then there was the wall behind the gurney, and there was a hole in the wall where the intravenous lines came through and were attached to his arm.
So he was already prepared?
Right.
With the IV in? And then what happened?
I don't remember that there was any kind of communication, like a microphone and speakers that you could hear, but it didn't make any difference because he had nothing to say. It wasn't until after the execution and we got back to the day room in the main prison that we found out that Wells had called Channel 7 and made the statement about it. He wanted everybody to know he was sorry for what he did. But he didn't have anything to say that at the time of the execution. So the execution proceeded.
Do you remember that in real clear detail? I mean, did that sort of stick in
Well, I mean,
mind?
There isn't really much to see. It's Wells was there on the gurney, strapped down. The execution began. For some reason, I have it stuck in my head that it began at 1:10. They started the procedure with the three drugs, the first one, and you could see his chest moving up and down as they were doing that. As I recall, we weren't told as one drug ended and the next drug started. We weren't told about that sequence and when it occurred. And it took longer than they had anticipated it would take for the injection to become lethal. And while you were sitting there, you could see his chest go up and down, and then it would become less and less, and then his chest no longer moved.
And how did you feel? I mean, you were covering the story, and you saw this was the first execution you'd ever seen?
Right, the only execution I've ever seen. You know, I think probably the things that struck me most about the execution were how sterile and antiseptic it was. I mean, it was very quiet. You know, you compare it to the murder that he committed. I mean, it's like black and white. This was a very, like I say, sterile, antiseptic process as opposed to beating somebody's brains out with a bat. that has stuck with me through all of it. That's the thing I remember the most, is how antiseptic it was.
And that dichotomy of the murders versus the execution.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, if somebody, having never been related to a victim of a violent crime like that, if their purpose was revenge to get some measure or some pound of flesh in, as a payback, I don't know that that method of execution would achieve that end.
And did it change your view on the death penalty? Did you have one view going in?
No, I've always been against the death penalty.
And still
personally,
are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought this at the time, that Keith Eugene Wells is probably the poster child for abolition of the death penalty. Here was a guy who was so afraid to spend the rest of his life in prison that he'd rather die. And, you know, I think in that sense that life in prison probably is a much worse fate than ending your life.
Idaho's first execution in 17 years, part 3. Convicted murderer Paul Ezra Rhodes has become the 43rd death row inmate in the country to be executed. Rhodes, like those before him, died by lethal injection this morning. The execution followed a strict timeline and procedure that all took place in F Block at the Idaho Maximum Security Institution. Most of it happened behind closed doors, with only a few people there to witness his death. Meanwhile, outside F Block, protesters and media gathered. Sadie Babbitts and Scott Key were among the press outside the facility.
Pro and anti-death penalty protesters gather at dawn near the gates of the Idaho prison complex. Two death penalty supporters stand together as generators power spotlights on an otherwise dark and empty dirt lot. 25-year-old Boise resident Chris Bentley says Paul Rhodes' execution is warranted.
Given the situation and the severity of the crime, I think that there's really only one penalty that can match the severity. And this absolutely is a situation that it's a horrible, horrible thing. And it's, you know, it's been a long time to get to this process.
Brian Amaro is the other pro-death penalty supporter. He's originally from Blackfoot. That's where murder victim Nolan Haddon was from. Rhodes was sentenced to life in prison for his death. Amaro knew Nolan Haddon.
I grew up with one of the victims, and so I'm just here to support him. I'm for the death penalty, though, yes.
Just across the road, seven anti-death penalty protesters sit cross-legged. They face the rising sun, their eyes closed in meditation. Meanwhile, about four dozen others form a circle. Mia Crosthwaite, a member of Idahoans Against the Death Penalty, leads the group in prayer.
Today we remember that many people are affected in a very personal way by this execution. And so we're going to do in this call and response. Paul Rhodes is being executed today. For Paul Rhodes.
For Paul Rhodes.
Jerome Monzi, a Boise State student from Uganda, says he's against the death penalty because he's pro-life.
I'm given a chance to live, so I don't see why we should not give everybody a chance to live, even after all the atrocities.
His friend Nicole Paul, another Boise State student from Nampa, has a similar view.
I'm not the one that decides when life starts, so I don't think I have the right to decide when a life ends.
Paul and Amanzi are on one side of the prison complex. On the other, TV crews and reporters. A biting wind makes it tough to stay outside for too long. Inside a media tent, generators run heaters to warm correction staff and reporters. Everything runs as planned. Brent Ranke, the head of the Department of Corrections, tells reporters the execution is on schedule. But as dawn breaks, department spokesman Jeff Ray makes an announcement.
Right now, the procedure has been delayed. There was a court action filed overnight, and as a result, the matter is currently being reviewed by a judge.
An attorney from Mountain Home filed a last-minute motion to halt the execution. Idaho Attorney General Lawrence Wasdin explains documents were filed in Ada County District Court and with the Idaho Supreme Court.
The motion to stay was made on the claim that the federal attorneys who represented Mr. Rhodes were not death qualified under requirements of the Idaho Supreme Court. And as a consequence, their view was that the matter should be stayed until the court should review that matter.
The courts did review that matter, and a judge denied the request. The execution continued, albeit delayed. Less than a half hour later, Brent Ranke returned to the media tent.
In accordance with the orders from the 6th and 7th Judicial District in Bingham and Bonneville counties, the execution of Paul Ezra Rhodes has been carried out.
Ranke witnessed the execution along with four members of the Idaho Press. Rebecca Boone was among them. She works for the Associated Press. Boone says Rhodes appeared nervous while laying on a gurney. Then he gave his last words. Although the husband of murder victim Susan Mickelbacher was not in the room, Rhodes addressed him.
He said to Bert Mickelbacher, "I'm sorry for the part I played in your wife's death." But then he addressed the Haddon and the Baldwin family and said, "You have to keep looking."
Rhodes said goodbye to his mom, who was in another room. He then turned toward Warden Randy Blades and said, "You guys, I forgive you. I really do." Nate Green, who reports for the Idaho Press Tribune, also witnessed the execution. He says he heard comments from others in the witness chamber.
Towards the end, there were some things said. One gentleman, who apparently is a friend of the Mickelbacher family, said, "The devil has gone home."
Tom Moss was also among the witnesses. He was a prosecutor in Bingham County and active in all the cases involving Rhodes. Now, 24 years later, Moss says the families of Rhodes' victims can put this behind them. He says he didn't come to watch the execution.
"I came here to see these people that I was very close to during a very intense period of their lives and of my life. And I became close to them, and I wanted to be here in case they felt like they needed support. And I will say this about these victims. They were very dignified. They handled themselves very well under these circumstances."
Moss says he prosecuted cases that ended in the death penalty, but this was the first time he watched the final act. He says he never thought he'd see an execution during his lifetime.
"There's a certain amount of closure to see one of them get executed. I don't want you to think I love to see people get killed, but there is satisfaction to see finally the law comes to a conclusion. It's done. There will be no more appeals. This family don't have to read in the paper anymore. These families don't have to read about, oh, there's something going on with Paul Rhodes. I have people calling me up. Oh, does this mean he's going to get off with this?" No, they don't have to have those anxieties anymore. This case is closed.
Now there are 14 inmates on Idaho's death row. A few are near the end of their appeals. But the attorney general says Rhodes' death doesn't set the pace for future executions. Lawrence Wasden says court schedules and how cases evolve will determine what happens next on death row. I'm Sadie Babbitts.
And I'm Scott Key, KBSX News.